Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster along with Ray Allen. Ray is producing and engineering the show for us today, and together we welcome you to the Buckmaster Show. It's Monday, January 18th, 2016, the day the nation honors the late Dr. Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. We are coming to you live from AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice. We're live streaming our show on my website, buckmastershow.com, which kicks you over to kvoi.com, and together we bring you the live stream so you can listen to the program anytime, anywhere through the podcasts at buckmastershow.com. We'll begin with our Monday political face-off. We have John Munger. John is with me in studio. Jeff Rogers on the live line. We'll get to them in a moment. Then, honoring the King legacy, we'll talk with Debbie Emery, the head of the Tucson Urban League, followed at 12:45 by Dr. Mark Sykes of the Tucson-based Planetary Science Institute, 790-2040, our live line number for your questions, comments, suggestions, whatever. Our Facebook page under my name, Bill Buckmaster, and you can also follow us on Twitter at Buckmaster Show. Our Monday political face-off sponsored by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985. Moe and his family do such a great job with all custom frame mirrors. They've got some great art in their gallery. They'll do, of course, the picture framing and hanging services and hanging systems. That means Moe comes out to your home, your business, in his nice little truck, and he's got everything he needs there, and he comes in and he takes care of all the hanging for you. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com and on Facebook. The Monday political face-off today has John Munger with me in studio. John, well-known Tucson attorney, former president of the Arizona Board of Regents, 2010 Republican candidate for Arizona governor. Jeff Rogers, also a well-known Tucson attorney, former longtime chairman of the Pima County Democratic Party. And Jeff, as I say, is with us on the live line, and John is with me in studio. Jeff, how are you today?
And really excited about the new coaches being hired by Coach Rich Rodriguez. It looks like we're getting a top-of-the-line defensive coordinator who kept Boise State in the top 10 and the most defensive statistics over the last couple years. So I think that's an exciting prospect.
What do you think, John?
I think it's great. I agree with Jeff. I really like Rich Rod, and I have a lot of confidence in him.
Gentlemen, I hope you both had a great weekend, and for some, the weekend continues. Of course, a three-day weekend. Last night was one of the last Democratic debate before folks actually start voting. Jeff Rogers, the Bernie Sanders people are saying that Bernie really has momentum now, and that this is actually turning into a race. In fact, Washington Post said that some leading Democrats are increasingly anxious about Hillary's prospects of actually winning the nomination, and this kind of harkens back some bad memories for Hillary back to 2008. Some of your thoughts, please.
Well, I have a couple different thoughts on it. Just like the Republican Party, I mean, the Democratic Party is, you know, some parts of our base are reaching out to our most extreme elements, and that's where, you know, Bernie Sanders is. He describes himself as a Democratic socialist. I think it would be bad for the Democratic Party if he were to get the nomination, just like I think it'll be bad for the Republican Party if either Ted Cruz or Trump gets the nomination. I think both parties are experimenting with some real problems in both directions as far as that goes. On the other hand, I do think that once we're past Iowa and New Hampshire, two of the most whitest states in America that don't reflect really the diversity of America like Arizona does, like many other states, I think Hillary will probably be shore up her support, particularly with South Carolina. She's polls show her up by multiple double digits, 20, 30 points. Nationwide, she's up by 20, 30 points. So I think that what we're seeing is a microcosm of just Iowa and New Hampshire. And when we get to more diverse states, we'll see her back in the driver's seat again.
What do you think, John Munger?
Well, I think Jeff's probably right. I'm not as sanguine about Jeff didn't mention the issue of whether Hillary gets indicted. And I think that's...
I think that's highly unlikely. Nobody's saying that except John.
Well, actually, there's 100, and it's well known, there's about 150 FBI agents out there that are investigating her. That's being talked about in Congress and in Washington. That's well known. The investigation is known to be underway. It'll be interesting to see what happens. But I think that the Democratic Party is showing its true colors. It is fundamentally a socialistic party. Hillary was asked the other day to tell the some news commentator, I think on MSNBC, I think it was Chris Matthews, what's the difference between a socialist and a Democrat? And she couldn't answer the question. I think that we're really seeing the true colors of the Democratic Party. But we'll see what happens. The Democrats have got all these super delegates at their convention, which basically what they've done is padded the convention so that the people in control continue in control with their super delegates. The Republicans don't have anything significant like that.
Jeff, is it a socialist party?
No, I hardly think so. I mean, you heard the debate yesterday when Bernie Sanders was saying we need a single-payer health plan like many of the more social democratic countries in Europe and elsewhere, including Canada, and Hillary was saying, no, we can't afford that. Obamacare isn't perfect, but let's trim around the edges and improve upon it, and we've got something that works now that's cut the rate of the uninsured in half. So there are some people in the Democratic Party who are we have our version of the Tea Party. It's some of our more extreme elements are kind of socialistic, but by the same token, the Republican Party has its Tea Party members who are pretty far off to the right, and some would even say they're authoritarians, and that's why they're buying into the authoritarian movement of Donald Trump. And so each party has its fringe elements, and what the Democrats did after the debacle with George McGovern is we made sure that wouldn't happen again, and we did put a lot of Democrat Party officials, more mainstream moderate people, into what we call super delicate positions, and those people are able to have a large chunk of the vote so that we don't get somebody crazy hijacking our party in our convention.
So basically what Jeff's saying is the Democratic convention's been rigged.
And, well, it's not rigged.
Let me finish, Jeff.
Of the votes, just about 10%.
And so I get a kick. I get a little chuckle out of this thing about the Republican Party being authoritarian. It's the Democratic Party that wants the government to control everything we do. I mean, the Democrats, you look at de Blasio, he wants to control what kind of drinks you can drink. You can drink this kind of cola. You can't drink that kind of cola. The Republicans, hardly authoritarian. We want people to be free. It's the Democratic Party that's the authoritarian party. So
I guess that's why the Michigan governor took control of many of the cities and now is poisoning the residents of one of those cities with his authoritarian control, where the cities are denied the right to control their own destiny. So
one state in Michigan, but you look at the overall doctrine of the Democratic Party and its bigger government. In every level, more government control, more regulations, more taxes going to the government, less money in the people's hands. That's authoritarianism. The control of the party convention by a certain group of people in the Democratic Party via the superdelegates. I mean, that's the true authoritarian doctrine there.
Jeff, stick around. Look, we're going to take the break because I want to change the subject. You are a member of how many members on the Charter Committee, Jeff Rogers?
There are 15, 14 appointed by mayor and council and one appointed by the city manager.
And are you the chair? Or?
No, I'm not the chair. We decided that the best way to run this would be to have a chair who was actually on the commission last year that made some limited recommendations and that it would move more quickly that way.
I'm really interested to hear, Jeff, how this is going to turn out. I'd like your insight information.
Jeff, you'll give us an update, okay?
Absolutely.
After we take the break here on the Buckmaster Show, be right back.
Weinstein once said, as the bees go, so do humans. Five-star professional pest control techs have another option rather than killing the bees. We can remove them. This bee removal option is safe, effective, and next time you have a swarm of bees enter your personal space, call us and let us remove these bees. We have professional technicians on call 7 days a week, 886-0045.
The Regional Transportation Authority is funding new sidewalks, pedestrian crossings, and bike lanes across the region to enhance our regional mobility and safety. The 20-year RTA plan also includes roadway improvement projects and transit service enhancements to get you where you want to go. The RTA continues to deliver its promise to you to make our region safer and more accessible. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
Hey, honey, welcome home. How was your trip to L.A.?
Flying out of Tucson was the way to go. I got 3 whole days of FaceTime with the board, and they liked the fact that I saved the company time and money by flying out of TIA.
Oh, honey, that's great. Sounds like your career is really taking off.
You bet. With so many daily flights to L.A., I can get there in no time at all.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting from a different perspective. We have an entire section devoted to the Old West and its heritage. Contributors include Wyatt Earp historian Scott Dyke and hiking Apacheria's Jerry Egan. We also look back at Old West newspapers and feature a column, This Day in Old West History. It is Old West News from a different perspective. The Southern Arizona News Examiner. Free subscriptions at soaznewsx.com.
Business owners and managers upgrade your workforce through training customized to meet your needs. Pima Community College offers affordable, specialized training for companies large and small. Instruction is delivered how, when, and where you want it, whether online, at your business, or a customized combination. Pima Community College instructors make training relevant with a focus on today's real-world business needs and measurable success. Learn more at 206-6593, 206-6593. As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. Join us Tuesday as we talk about the 100-year anniversary of the National Park Service, also the Children's Action Alliance and their work for child well-being issues on Buckmaster, noon to 1 on AM 1030 KVOI The Voice, with live streaming podcasts and our archive at buckmastershow.com. Of 18 on the Buckmaster Show. That's my name, Buckmaster, and we have John Munger with me in studio, and Jeff Rogers is on our Buckmaster Show live line. It is our Monday political face-off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. Before the break, Jeff Rogers, who is a member of a 15-member committee that is looking at possible charter changes, and we said that Jeff would give us an update. Jeff, how many meetings have you had? Where are you right now?
We're on our third meeting. We're going to meet every other week for 2 to 3 hours, and it's a nice, good cross-section of Tucson that's represented there, and we have an expert named Dr. Sonnenheim, who is a professor at the school, escapes me at the moment, who is going to be with us about half of the time. He's an expert on public policy and local governance, and he also assisted the commission last time it met last year, and we're sort of looking at four things. Three of them are financial issues. One of them is whether or not to raise the cap on a sales tax, and this wouldn't raise taxes. It would just allow the mayor and council to raise the sales tax slightly if they chose to do so in the future and revenue needed to be done like that. We're one of the few cities in the entire state that has a written into our charter a cap on sales taxes. We also have one of the lowest city sales tax in the state. We're also looking at primary and secondary property taxes. Secondary property taxes currently are capped, and those are ones that they always have to go to the voters to approve them, but they're usually used for bonding purposes. And so you go to the voters and ask for a certain amount of money for bonding for some kind of project. And so the voters would still have to approve those, but we want to try to raise that limit on the secondary property tax. These are they're not general obligations. They're usually for major projects. And then the third one is that our city charter, also no other city charter does this, requires that we cannot pledge tax revenue for bonds. And so what we have to do is something called certificates of participation, and they carry a higher interest rate than bonds do, so it's actually costing us. So that one is just kind of a technical change. And then the fourth area, the one that is probably going to generate the most interest, is how we elect our mayor and council. Other than all of, I think it's Washington State, who does it the same way we do it, even in their school districts and such, there aren't a lot of cities that use the hybrid that we have where you nominate by ward but then run citywide. So there really are, as the way I see it, four or five possibilities. Leave it as it is. Do ward only with existing wards right now, and then probably eliminate staggered elections so the mayor is not on with just a few of the people at one time. And eliminating staggered elections would also save us about $1.5 million every 2 years because it's costly to run an election, even if you do it all by mail. And then another one, which was mentioned in the lawsuit that was brought by Bruce Ash and others against the city, and is all at large, and the decision of that two-judge or three-judge panel was 2-1, and it suggested that would be the appropriate way to do it. I'm not so sure. In looking at all these options, I want to do what's good for to promote good governance of the city of Tucson. I think everybody there is very open-minded about what will create the best government in the city of Tucson. Another one, it would be a hybrid where you have some people in ward and some people at large. And then the fifth one would be to add another council person, run them in at large or wards only, and have the mayor have a veto power. And so those are kind of rough sketch of the ones we're looking at. My biggest problem with ward only, and I'm still open-minded to going ward only, is that it tends to promote a sense of parochialism. We see that with the Board of Supervisors. One famous incident was where they located the ballpark, down on the south side when we had Major League spring training. And I think we've all learned since then that was probably not the place to locate that. We might have still lost spring training, but nevertheless, when people were thinking about their wards only and not the city as at large, that concerns me to some degree.
Okay. Well, I want to bring John into this. John, what do you think?
Well, I'm very interested to hear all these options. Mm-hmm. And getting to that last item, I'm going to make a prediction. I'm going to make a prediction that this group, how many Republicans do you have on this group?
There's probably 3 or 4. It's not a lot because all of the mayor and council are Democrats.
Yeah.
But there are some.
So out of 15 people, you got 3 or 4 Republicans. Always a few enough to be outvoted. I make a prediction that we're going to have at-large elections. They're going to do what they can to cut out wards where Republicans might be able to elect their own ward candidate in a ward that's heavily Republican.
Well, that would be my concern, John.
They're going to leave it like it is, where it's at large, so that the Democratic majority can always cut out any Republican candidates nominated by their ward. So that's my prediction, that we're going to have more of the same.
I think you probably ought to come to some of the meetings. I'm real open-minded about this, John. I really do want to do what's best for Tucson, and that is my worry about at large. I told you my worry about ward only is the parochialism. Well, my worry about at large is that it indeed does shut Republicans out, and I don't think that's right either. So that's why we might end up with some kind of a combination or something. And a lot of cities do that with some at large and some ward only. But I think we've got got a committee that is really dedicated to doing what we think is right for the long-term governance, good governance of Tucson, and what will promote that.
So are these meetings then open to the public?
I
heard you say John should come to some of the meetings.
Absolutely. Yeah. We have some business people that come. We had the executive director of Home Builders, the Southern Arizona Home Builders, was at the last meeting. We have several business people who come to these. The head of the Chamber of Commerce, Mike Varney, was at the last meeting. We have an open call to the audience at the beginning of the meeting.
But those aren't voting members.
And then again at the end of the meeting. No, but I'm telling you, we're going to listen to people in the business community and their concerns. I've been through this charter change process a couple times, and the last time I went through it, we made some attempted changes, but we lopped them all together as four in one, and the salary increase for the County Mayor and Council brought down the other three items. And that group, that was backed, and fundraising was done by the Southern Arizona Leadership Council, the Southern Arizona Home Builders, the Tucson Association of Realtors. They were the people who were the prominent backers of that, and I want those groups to buy in. I'm not gonna vote for a package that doesn't get the support of groups like that. They're important elements of this community, and I expect to see us try to work with them and come up with a package that's good for Tucson.
When is the city gonna finally get around to annexing some areas of the county that have Republicans in it?
That's another reason why we talk about one of the options is expanding the size of the council to add some other areas. For instance, you know, the area north of River Road, that would, if we took it all the way up to Skyline, well, that would be practically another ward. But if they came in, they would, you know, necessarily want their own ward representation. So that's another factor to consider, is that, you know, we do want these people to come in, and we can explain why it's to their economic advantage to come in, that they'll actually pay lower than they're paying for their fire protection and trash collection in the city taxes than they're paying now. So, but we want them to be, you know, supporters of the city and believe in it. And I think you're right that these areas might not want to be annexed if they don't think they have control over a council seat, and that's another reason that leans towards maybe the ward only.
Well, we'll see. It'll be very interesting to see what happens in this. When is that going to be decided, Jeff?
Well, I think we're looking to meet through April. We're meeting every other Monday, and try to have these recommendations ready so that they can be on the November ballot this year.
In the remaining minute or so, I've only got 2 minutes, actually, Jeff. Just could you give me your 30-second opinion of the governor's budget and how it affects education?
I think you could sum it up rather nicely by saying, let's see, he wants $31 million for a border strike force, and he wants an additional $17.6 million for 100 more private prison beds, 1,000 more private prison beds. Compare that to the $8 million that he's going to increase university funding of the $99 million that was cut last time around. I think that tells you a lot about the governor's priorities.
John?
Well, there's only so much money, and you got certain things you got to do. You know, the Democrats always want to tax more and spend more. And
how about if we just spend less on prisons and more on education?
Well, I mean, you know, the problem is, Jeff, we got prisoners, and you got to put them someplace. And you can't... you've got to do something with them. And so that's a priority almost that the governor doesn't have control over, because you got prisoners, so you got to create beds for them. And that's just reality. I know that the Democrats don't like reality. They want to make a political issue out of it. But if we're going to keep sending people to prison all the time, which I have some problems with, but if we're going to keep doing that, you got to have the beds, and that's out of the governor's hands.
Well, other states are doing other things. Even the Koch brothers and many of their allies agree that the sentencing structure within states and within the federal government is a mess.
That's an entirely different issue. Until we change that, the governor's got to create the beds for the people.
We can change that in this legislative session, and we won't have a need for additional beds.
Well, that's fine. You get that done, and then we won't have as many beds as we need.
Okay. Jeff Rogers, thank you, Jeff, for spending some time with us. And John Munger with us here on our Monday Political Face-Off. John, hope you have a great week. Hope it goes well for both of you.
Thanks,
gentlemen.
Bill.
All right. The Monday Political Face-Off, sponsored by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985. Moe's specializes in custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing and hanging services, and hanging systems. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. And, of course, they are on Facebook. Coming up now on 12:30 on the Monday King Day edition of the Buckmaster Show, we'll talk about the King legacy right after this on Buckmaster.
Honey, welcome home. How was your trip to L.A.?
Flying out of Tucson was the way to go. I got 3 whole days of FaceTime with the board, and they liked the fact that I saved the company time and money by flying out of TIA.
Oh, honey, that's great. Sounds like your career is really taking off.
You bet. With so many daily flights to L.A., I can get there in no time at all.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
What if you could see tomorrow? Biosphere 2. Find out why visitors journey here from all over to explore future life on our planet. Guided tours take you inside and behind the scenes of this fascinating 21st century research experiment. Now, experience our new What If interactive event series every Saturday at this must-see wonder of the world. At Biosphere 2, you will see tomorrow.
Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Hi, this is Sean McCluskey, co-owner and designated broker for Rincon Ventures. If you're a rental owner by choice or by accident, and you're looking to hire or change property management companies, consider Rincon Ventures. We employ an aggressive web-based advertising strategy to market your rental. We thoroughly screen prospective tenants and conduct routine property inspections. Our online system gives tenants the ability to pay rent and file maintenance requests instantly over the web. Our owners can use the same system to instantly check on their properties. Call Rincon Ventures at 881-2258 or visit us on the web at rvprop.com.
Vero Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Vero Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Vero Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with 2 separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. We push toward 12:34 on this day that America honors the legacy, the memory of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., Reverend King. With me in studio, Debbie Embry. Debbie, how are you?
Great. It's been a long morning.
Yeah, I bet it has. I want to hear all about it. Debbie is the president and CEO of the Tucson Urban League. She also does a radio talk show on another station, but that's okay. We'll mention it. She's on KLPX Sunday morning at 6:30, and she does Straight Talk with Debbie. Anyway, lots to talk about here in the next 10 minutes. Tucson now officially, Debbie, has a Martin Luther King street.
Yes, and this morning we did the ribbon cutting. It took place at U of A Tech Park. They partnered with the NAACP, and they've been working on this project for about 2 or 3 years. And we decided, they decided that that was the best location for it because of the surrounding neighborhoods. Pueblo Gardens is one of the surrounding neighborhoods, and when African Americans came to our community, meaning the Tucson community, that's where they lived because that was the only place they were allowed to live. So, as you know, that is the marketplace or the Bridges area of U of A Tech Park.
And that, the U of A is doing developing that area.
That's economic development.
So we are now one of, I think, what would you say, about 100 and some cities?
175 cities.
175 cities that have a street named in honor of Dr. King. Yeah. You know, this is one of those holidays that for many people, it's like work as usual. What, some of your thoughts about that?
Well, and I also learned this morning from Congresswoman McSally that Dr. King is the only street named after a private citizen. So imagine the impact, his impact on nonviolence, social change, peace, ending poverty, all of these issues that we're facing today, he faced them in a whole different era, you know, 50 years ago. But that he made an impact, and people honor his legacy today, and especially the highest honor of having a street named after him.
The whole thing with the King legacy is very personal for Debbie Embry, isn't it? You grew up in Milwaukee. You came from a family that's very social justice oriented. Tell me a little bit about that.
My mother had always been involved with social issues. She was a community leader. She had served as an Urban League, not CEO, but board chair for two different Urban Leagues in cities across the country or affiliates across the country. She marched, did the Selma March. She's been, she was caught in the middle of the Cincinnati riots because she lived, she worked for one of the public housing organizations there. So she, I learned at a very early age that we have to fight. We continue to fight for social change. And we grew up in a upper middle class family. My father played professional basketball. So we always learned that we have to treat people with respect and dignity, regardless of the color of their skin. Also, in their positions that they had, they always made sure that African Americans had access to opportunities within those organizations. So they fought behind the scenes, my mother in front of the scenes, to make social change happen.
You know, we hear, of course, we all know about Jackie Robinson, his struggle. The the movie was terrific, by the way. And I'm thinking about your own dad, about professional basketball. And what was the color barrier like, Debbie? Can you kind of summarize that for me?
And
In the particular time frame?
Right. And his name was Wayne Embry, and
Wayne
he played with the Cincinnati Royals to begin with. And I still remember the stories that he would tell about how when the Cincinnati Royals would go play in the South, the teams in the South, there were one or two other African-American players on that team. They had to stay in a separate hotel. They had to eat in, you know, a different restaurant because of the Jim Crow laws. So, obviously, that makes an impact as well. He also became the first African-American to be a general manager and lead a sports team in all of professional sports. Mm-hmm. And that was a bold move that the Milwaukee Bucks made back in 1971. My parents were a little afraid because Milwaukee was a segregated city, northern city.
Yeah.
And what would people, they were afraid of the reaction, really.
Scary times.
Yeah. I remember bomb threats on our home.
Mm-hmm.
I remember even as late as 1990, when he was with the Cleveland Cavaliers, he received death threats. There were bullet shell casings outside of his office in our – we had a suite on the – basketball court, you know, to watch the games.
Yeah.
There were, they had to have security taking them home for a period of time. So, you know, there's still a lot of hatred out there.
Dennis Embry, your dad, really a famous guy in sports, mm-hmm. and he was really in that kind of the pre-NBA that we know today. Mm-hmm. He was like, you know, there were the Rochester had a team,
right.
And Syracuse. It was kind of the forerunner to the right. to the NBA that we know today.
Correct.
Some of these were small market,
mm-hmm.
by today's standards,
mm-hmm.
small market teams.
Especially Milwaukee was a small market back then.
Yeah. We're going to go to the phone lines. Judith Blair, I believe, is with us on the live line. Debbie, I'm going to have you slip this headset on so you can hear Judith. Hey, Judith.
Good afternoon.
Hi.
You know, her father attended Miami University, where I attended, and played mm-hmm. ball there. I've been a fan of the Embrys for a long time, not only for his basketball astuteness, but the social impact that he's had. Like she mentioned, the first African-American general manager and the trials that he went through. And I just salute them on this day for the price that they paid.
Mm-hmm.
Tex with the Globetrotters shared a lot with me about having to stay. It wasn't at a hotel. When they went to Florida, they had to sleep in the county jail one time.
Wow.
Because they couldn't stay in a hotel. So wow. Kudos to her and her family for the price that they've paid and the significance that they've made in the community.
Thank you, Judith.
Thanks, Judith, for calling.
And I owe you a phone call.
All right. Judith Blair calling in here on the Buckmaster Show Liveline. You've got a big event at the Tucson Urban League, Debbie. You've got the Temptations coming to town with one of the original members, Dennis Edwards, mm-hmm. is coming.
And thank you, Bill. We are celebrating our 45th anniversary this year, 45 years of providing services to the people of Pima County, and we decided to have a celebration and bring the Temptations in and just have fun. That event is January 31st. It is at 8 o'clock at the Fox Theater. Ticket prices start at $25. The other interesting thing that we've done is partnered with Sunday Evening Forum. They're going to do an armchair conversation with Dennis at the Fox Theater from 5 to 6. This is a free event. It really lets people from all over get to talk with Dennis and learn what it was like to be with the Temptations or be part of the Temptations, especially during the Civil Rights Movement, especially being a part of Motown, which is an institution in the music industry and entertainment industry, and that is a free event.
Well, that's going to be terrific. That's going to be, again, at the Fox Theater on Sunday, January 31st, 8 o'clock in the evening, to come out and celebrate the Tucson Urban League's 45th anniversary. The Tucson Urban League really has been empowering communities and changing lives here in Tucson, now for almost a half a century. Mm-hmm. Debbie, I'm going to wrap this up with you. It's really good to see you. Is your father still with us? Is he still?
No, he's here. He's still working, as a matter of fact.
Is he?
He is a consultant for the Toronto Raptors.
Wow.
So he's been involved with basketball for a million years.
Yeah,
So, but again, it is his passion, and it's a lot easier now. He really scouts the West Coast. He's in Scottsdale, so you can watch games now from your chair because there's the NBA station, and he still loves college basketball.
All right, Debbie Embry, thank you very much, Debbie.
Thank you, Bill.
It's great to see you again.
Thank you.
All right, coming up on 12:45 on the Buckmaster Show, we'll be right back with Dr. Mark Sykes. We're going to talk about Mars. I saw the movie finally, The Martian. Talk to Dr. Sykes about that right after this. All right, back with the Buckmaster Show. Mark, come on in. Come on in. The break was, we had a little difficulty there, and maybe we can load it up here in a few minutes. But anyway, we're going to continue on. It's live radio,
all right.
So why not? So I'm going to go ahead, though, and do the commercial, which I enjoy doing every day because I'm so thankful to have sponsors like Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. It's a beautiful area. Mark Sykes is with me. Mark's going to be up here in a few seconds. You know, Mark looks at the sky and he loves stars. I'll tell you, over in Silver City, great visibility over there. Have you been over there to that
area? I have not.
You need to get over there. Three hours east of Tucson to Silver City and enjoy really a different experience. It's just, there's so much to do over there. You can hike in the Gila National Wilderness. There's the famous Cliff Dwellings National Monument, which is just north of Silver City. For more information about the many things to do and the great places to stay, like Bear Mountain Lodge, go to their website, southwestnewmexico.org. Mark, how are you?
I'm doing just great.
I finally saw the movie The Martian. Ann and I like to, you know, we still like, the theater experience is okay, but I kind of like to still see movies in my home. And I enjoyed
the Martian. Did you see it in 3D?
No. I enjoyed The Martian. Mark Sykes is with us, by the way, folks, and he is the CEO and director of the Planetary Science Institute, celebrating its 43rd year as a Tucson-based nonprofit engaged in the exploration of the solar system. They kept talking about days, not as days, but as souls. So how long is a soul?
It's almost 24 hours, about 25 hours, I think.
Oh, it's a little longer than a day. Okay, so a soul is a Martian day. Yeah. But generally, what did you think of the movie?
Oh, I enjoyed it a great deal. I mean, it's always nice to see, you know, individual effort overcoming great odds. And I don't want to put out any spoilers about it. You know, there are certainly some technical funniness to it, but you know, who cares? You know, it's a fun movie. However, as I noted in an email to you, there was an aspect of it that I found very depressing, and that is the whole context of the Mars program envisioned the future here was basically dead end. They were going to have five missions to Mars, maybe squeeze a sixth one out, right?
Kind of the Apollo thing.
Yeah, like Apollo on steroids. And then once they're done with that, then they're done, I guess. Yeah.
So that was kind of the Apollo. There was no, where do we go next? This was like
the end
of the Apollo mission.
You know, as you recall, Bill, I know you recall.
I do.
I'm old enough to recall as well that back in the 60s, you know, the Congress was pouring an enormous amount of money in NASA for the Apollo program because they were all about beating the Soviets to the moon, even though we kind of won that race by about 63-64. But the populace, the people, were all behind it because it was the dawn of the space age. This was the beginning. Remember, Walter Cronkite bought a ticket on Pan Am to go to the moon. You know, they expect there to be hotel. We would all of us, regular people.
Well, in 2001, they show Pan Am flying, doing the shuttle to the moon. Yeah.
But we all thought in the 60s that we'd be living and working in space, and this sparked Star Trek, the Jetsons. It's the popular image that colonization, that living and working out in space was inevitable, but it's really not. You know, it's because it just doesn't happen. And a lot of space societies and stuff have evolved with the thought that, hey, if, as long as we think positive thoughts and click our heels together three times, we'll wake up one morning, it'll be the Jetsons outside with the flying cars.
Was the movie accurate in how long it took to get to Mars? They were talking about, like, you know, it's like, what is it? It's
10
over
months
a year.
Or something. Oh,
it's almost a year.
Yeah,
it was a journey.
That time. Yeah, that's about right.
And how do we get there? The propulsion, they didn't get into the propulsion systems that we're going to need. These are huge questions, though.
Yeah. In the movie, they were using some opportune conjunction of Earth and Mars that they were able to keep a spacecraft or make a return spacecraft journey to Mars from the Earth on a reasonable timescale.
All right, we're going to take our break here because now we've got the break package back into the computer system. Let's hope this was not the system that they were using to go to Mars. Anyway, let's take our break here. Mark Sykes back with us right after this. The Regional Transportation Authority and its member jurisdictions work together to deliver regional transportation improvements that are funded by the RTA's 20-year plan. So far, more than 700 transportation improvements have been completed, like enhanced transit services, new bike lanes and sidewalks, expanded roadways, and new traffic signal technologies. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future, more at rtamobility.com. Business owners and managers upgrade your workforce through training customized to meet your needs. Pima Community College offers affordable, specialized training for companies large and small. Instruction is delivered how, when, and where you want it, whether online, at your business, or a customized combination. Pima Community College instructors make training relevant with a focus on today's real-world business needs and measurable success. Learn more at 206-6593, 206-6593.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
What if you could see tomorrow? Biosphere 2. Find out why visitors journey here from all over to explore future life on our planet. Guided tours take you inside and behind the scenes of this fascinating 21st century research experiment. Now, experience our new What If interactive event series every Saturday at this must-see wonder of the world. At Biosphere 2, you will see tomorrow.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona is setting the standard for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. Being accredited with BBB means that your business holds the same high standards and consumers can count on you to keep your word. Hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans use our website every month. Make sure they find your business. Call us today to discuss the many benefits of BBB accreditation at 888-6161 or go to our website at bbb.org/Tucson.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. Mark Sykes is with us, CEO of the Planetary Science Institute. Mark, we had a Facebook comment, a question that came into the Bill Buckmaster Facebook site. The Facebook friend wonders about something called Pan-STARRS Comet. And what is Pan-STARRS, basically?
Well, Pan-STARRS is an observatory. I believe it's over at Haleakala on the island of Maui. And it's doing a survey of the entire sky, and the first element of it is in place, and it's to look for near-Earth asteroids, to look for changing astrophysical features in the sky, and then, of course, this includes comets. The most recent Pan-STARRS comet is something that's observed, I think, shortly after a sunset, you know, right near the Moon, Venus.
Mainly Southern Hemisphere.
Yeah, though, right? It'd be better seen in the Southern Hemisphere.
But I think our Facebook friend is confused because Pan-STARRS, there could be Pan-STARRS is referring to where the discovery is.
Yeah, comets are made comets are named after their discoverers. In this case, it's named after a program of discovery. Pan-STARRS, just like we have some comets named after Catalina for the Catalina Sky Survey. We have many comets named after Shoemaker-Levy, like Shoemaker-Levy 9 that impacted Jupiter back in the early 90s. That's named after Carolyn Shoemaker and David Levy.
Mark, I wanted to ask you about an op-ed piece from Charles Walker, Charles D. Walker. He's an engineer and former shuttle astronaut. I did not realize that Mr. Walker resides here in Tucson, but there's a lot of people probably that I don't realize reside in Tucson. But his op-ed about what is the proper role of NASA in an era when you have private companies competing to do give us more access to space.
It's a little turned around a bit or I should say the title. I think the article's fine. It should say don't limit all space exploration to private ventures because there is no market for space exploration. The private sector is not going to pay for probes to Jupiter. There is a market, and the market is the government. For paying the private sector to haul material and people up to places like the space station. And we have some great innovators in that area, like the Musk with SpaceX, that have been developing cheaper ways of doing it than we've done in the past by other companies. So NASA's actually not built these things themselves. They market it out to Boeing and other companies. And so, investors, and I'd say the one new area of market, if you will, in this space is in the space tourism area, and that would be high altitude balloons, suborbital flights, which just go up and come back right down. Ultimately, perhaps orbital flights in near Earth space, but not much more beyond that. Elon Musk talks about going to Mars for $500,000, but I don't think he's really thought through the problem of what you do when you get there. But I mean, assuming you could even do it, Mr. Walker refers to the SLS system, which is being built by NASA, or being funded, you know, through NASA, being built by a consortium of private industry, and that's to kind of restore the throw weight capabilities of the old Saturn V, you know, within about 20% of that. But even that doesn't get us, as he suggests in his article, that's not going to get us to Mars because if you wanted to go to Mars, it would get the pieces that you'd need to put together to launch a vehicle out there. But it's also a system that is built without any particular objective in mind in that regard. We kind of do that too often, I think.
A private company isn't going to do a big exploration mission like to a Venus or to Mars initially.
Where's the profit?
Yeah.
You can invest in something, but unless there's somebody out there that's willing to buy what it is that you have to sell, and on a reasonable time scale, in space, governments like our government is a great entity. Where as a community, we assume the risk of these adventures that we engage in.
Mark Sykes from the Planetary Science Institute. I am a member. I urge you to be a member. It's psi.edu for more information. Mark, good to see you. See you in February.
Great to be here, Bill.
All right. It's afternoon, 4 to 5. Wake up, Tucson. No, how about 4, Tucson at 4? There you go, this afternoon. Then wake up, Tucson, tomorrow morning, 6 to 8, the Daily Double, 8 to 9. And then Sean McCluskey, Talk of the Town, from 9 to 10. Me, Bill Buckmaster, back with you along with our friend Ray Allen, engineering and producing our show tomorrow at 12:04. Till then, have a great afternoon and evening.